On behalf of Steve and Sue, thank you for being here as we've come together to remember Betsy Dawson, a friend to so many, an individual whose welcoming smile I can still see even now, a person that was filled with God's love and one who busied herself in many different realms, but considered it such an honor and privilege weekly to come to this place to worship the Lord and to fellowship with others of like faith. You may be seated. I welcome you to respond to the invocation and the welcoming words, but before we go there, Steve and Susan want you to know that there is a reception that follows the service in the fellowship hall, and where there will be food and refreshments and drinks, and you are all invited to attend that event. Also, the family will be stationed just outside the Northex, so as you go out, you make a left, and in an area that we call the welcome area, they'll be happy to visit with you and to greet you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to be in this place this day, to experience your word, and to sense the leading of your Holy Spirit, who touches our hearts and lives and reminds us of your great love for us. We pray especially for all who are here, perhaps even others who are on their way, and that following the service that you would be with each and every one of us to ensure us in our travels that we may return home safely. Even now we begin to worship you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And then let us speak together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of all mercy and the God of all consolation. And then together. He comforts us in all our sorrows so that we can comfort others in their sorrows with the consolation we ourselves have received from God. When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his, and then together. O Christ, our Savior and Lord, we praise you for your death on the cross for our sin, for your glorious resurrection, which gives us the victory in our place in the Father's house for eternity. Because you live, we shall live also. Then listen to these words that were selected by Betsy, first of all from Psalm 121. These are familiar words. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And then Psalm 123. I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. We sing.
Hello, I'm Don Hill, an elder here at St. Paul. If you'll join me in reading one of Betsy's favorite scriptures, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I had the last few years the privilege of visiting and communing Betsy and Harry. Each time I saw her, when I walked in there, she had the biggest, beautiful smile on her face. She was just, what a wonderful lady. And Betsy lived out her faith in the Lord on a daily basis. All who knew her were blessed by her hospitality and caring heart. And I want to thank Stephen and Nita and Susan and Alan for the attention and the loving care that they gave her, especially these last few years. Thank you so much for that. Today I rejoice with them even to celebrate Betsy's life and all who loved and pour out for all who knew her. Reading 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 51 through 57, these are my Apostle Paul's words. I listen, I tell you a mystery. We will all not sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the perishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Reading next scripture, John 14, 1 through 6. These are Jesus' words the night before he was betrayed. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We sing.
Steve, Sue, Alan, Nita, God bless you today and your family. As Dawn has already mentioned, throughout these past several years, you have served as a powerful example for all of us, including me, on how to honor parents and loved ones, and not merely to honor them with words, but to honor them with your presence, with your prayers, and with your hands. Throughout particularly the last couple of years of Betsy's life, you made sure she was cared for, that she was safe. You made sure that she knew that she was loved. You made sure that she was never alone. Caring for others, particularly when it comes to almost 24/7, is not an easy thing to do. It sort of rearranges priorities in lives. And yet God understands all of that. And it seems like a season that you have just gone through has a way of reminding us what is truly important and what isn't. So I thank you and I compliment you, and I know you did it not because you felt like it was something you had to do or that you were supposed to do, but the true motivation was your love for her. As I mentioned earlier today, family and friends are here with you. You're not alone. Furthermore, Jesus declared in his word that wherever several would gather in his name, he would be in their midst. We also read that God is closer to us than a brother or a sister. And so we rejoice in Betsy's life. We give thanks for her life, and we also celebrate the living hope that we have in Christ Jesus, that at the conclusion of life in this world, as we understand it and experience it, God promises those who have come and responded to his call to believe in him and to follow him. God promises to take us home to be with him forever and ever. Several years back, I had the opportunity extended to me here at St. Paul to facilitate and sort of teach a class of all subjects on death and dying. And when Anna, my ministry assistant and the one that keeps me out of trouble, although it's a 24/7 job, when we initially talked about it, I thought, boy, nobody will show up for this one. The class, you know, Steve probably won't make. Well, it did make, and there were a number of people that came. People were very gracious, asked lots of good questions. There was good discussion. One of many things that we noted during the course of those sessions was that each and every one of us will face death one day. You know, when you're really, really young, and you have the understanding that misunderstanding, you've got the world by the tail, you feel like that you're immortal and nothing bad can happen to you. But as the years go by, and we are called upon to attend services such as today, we are reminded of our own mortality. None of us are exempt. I have not discovered that asterisk anywhere as pertains to death that I am exempted. We're all there. Death is a very real part of life. And yet, God never intended it to be that way. when our original and first ancestors in the garden rebelled and rejected God's kind and wise counsel and attempted to be gods themselves, individuals in charge, calling all the shots, establishing what is true and not true. Fill in the blank, if you will. Sin and brokenness entered the world. And so it has been ever since. Still, in spite of all of our brokenness and our rebellious ways and of the mess that the world is in, and yes, even our lives, God loves us. And that truly is a mystery. It doesn't make sense to the world. And even Christians at times are overwhelmed by what that means. Our text today is taken from the gospel according to St. John. It is without question one of the most famous and favorite passages within the scripture. It has been translated into more languages than any other piece of literature. It is also perhaps one of the clearest statements of the gospel. Some have actually referred to it as a condensed version or summary of the entire gospel in just one verse. Martin Luther once said that John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. And I'm sure that had to be a pecan shell. The words to this passage are included in the bulletin for you. Even though I know many of you know it by heart, I would invite you to read it together with me so we can sort of get it in our mind in a refreshing way. Let's read it together, beginning with, "For God so loved." For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Betsy requested that these words be included in her service today. Those of you who knew her would say that makes perfect sense. There were words that were incredibly important to her, having influenced her life greatly. They speak of the enormity of God's love, a love that is unearned and not dependent upon what we accomplish in life or what we say or what we do or who we hang out with. Simply put, God loves us completely and unconditionally, even when we do not want him to do so. As Jesus would say later in John's gospel, there's no greater love than for one to lay down his or her life for another. And in this one specific verse that Betsy wants every one of us to hear today, we hear of God's love. Unbelievable love. Love for the world. And it is a love that is so deep and abiding that God would suffer the loss of his one and only Son to make it possible for him to communicate and to demonstrate and to make it clear to us how much he loves us. The Greek word that John uses a number of times here for world is cosmos. And if you were to translate that into the English, it would describe a world that is hostile, self-absorbed, and opposed to God. A world that sees no need for God, a world that rejects God in every way, a world that wants to be in control of everything, to call the shots, whatever. During the course of his teaching, Jesus addresses the world's condition on a number of times. On the very eve of his betrayal, while praying in the garden in which he prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for you and me, those who would come after them and who would trust in him. And he said in his prayer, I have given them, meaning the disciples, your word. And listen clearly. And the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world. Just as I do not belong to the world, I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world just as I do not belong to the world. Period. And so, all of this points to the probability that maybe we should translate this short passage in a little different way. That would give us additional meaning of the depth and the width of the eternity of God's love. Maybe we would interpret it this way: for God so loved the God-hating world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Truly amazing. It was not a sweet world that God was referring to through these words recorded by John. It was a rebellious world, just like today, rebellious lives. The word perish here really means more than to die. In this context, it means to die without hope, to be lost forever. But Jesus died so that we would not perish, but receive the gift of eternal life. How did Betsy receive this gift? By faith. That whoever believes in him, our verse says. The Holy Spirit worked this faith. He worked this trust in Betsy's heart, as he does with all as we are brought into the waters of baptism. He awakens a trust in the faith in our hearts to be able to reach out and to trust and to follow and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Good Shepherd. Because of God's great love, we receive the gift of new and eternal life. That is the gift. In this season of Advent, as we look forward to Christmas, we look forward to gifts, oftentimes that we exchange with others. We see in the aftermath of Christmas Day, and as we enter into the new year, we see the coming of the wise men and the gifts that they brought to the Christ child. But the gift of all gifts is God's forgiveness of our brokenness, of his call to come to him through the faith that he gives to us, to trust in him and to receive the fullness of life that is new and eternal. This is a life that lasts forever. But there's more to it than just a matter of quantity. It is a quality of life too, a new kind of life. Just hours before Jesus' death on the cross, he spoke these words to the disciples. And he didn't mention to them, he said, make sure that you have a smorgasbord at the church, you know, at least once a month. Make sure that the temperature is right in the sanctuary. Be sure that there are donuts and coffee there, especially for Lutherans. He didn't say any of that. What he did say is, love one another as I have loved you, and people will know that you are mine. And this word love is not a noun here. It's an adverb that requires action, just as it required action in God's doing to reach out to us and to give us the gift of eternal life, to love us with an everlasting love. Well, when you consider what Jesus said, we can't help but go to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians in fleshing out what does this love look like. And Paul says, love is patient, love is kind. Does this sound like Betsy? It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking. I can't read these words without being reminded of how much I fall short. He goes on to say, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So good, in fact, that we might wonder if we're able to pull that off in our relationship with our Heavenly Father and relationships with the people that He brings into our life. Impossible? Yes. No. Because you see, we're unable to do it by ourselves. Will we ever do it perfectly? No. But we're able to do it through the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit, who comes, as I said earlier, and takes up residence in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds. You see, even now, our Heavenly Father is working His work in changing our hearts, just as He did with Betsy, of molding us and shaping us more and more in the image of His Son, Christ Jesus. Betsy got this. She understood the power of God's Word that, yes, changes hearts and make life new. The Holy Spirit, whose work leads and guides and points out our shortcomings, makes it possible for us to even to come before the Lord, as those shortcomings are made known to us, to acknowledge them, to seek His forgiveness, and to be made whole. This love was manifested in so many ways in Betsy's life, as so many of you know. She was an adamant participant in the Braille ministry here, combining together with the labor of with others in producing pages of scripture that could in turn be shipped out and were distributed to people less fortunate than ourselves who cannot read. And because of those efforts, God's Word went forth. Lives were touched and changed. Betsy's love was manifested even as Don said, that whenever you would see her, there was that welcoming smile, that kindness, that gentleness, that acceptance, that no matter if it was a good day or an off day, you got the authentic impression she was happy to see you. Because of the way that her illness went, she was unable to really attend here for some time now. But before that illness set in, I always looked forward to greeting them. Sometimes before the service, when frequently, we pastors go out and and sort of mix with the congregation and shake hands. And sometimes we gather prayer requests at that time. Also at the end of services, when greeting folks in the narthex, there was always that smile, that firm handshake. And more often than not, Steve, as I mentioned the other day, when I would ask him, what's on the schedule for today, this afternoon? Tennis. Off to play tennis. Betsy was a very, very, very smart person. Went to school at SMU beginning at age 16. And stayed at home when the children were born, and full-time mom. Loved her children and her husband, supported them. Then I believe, Steve, you said that she went back to work after you guys got out of, away from the home and into school and what for. And always supportive of Harry. Loved him, proud of him. In all those years, I never heard her complain one time. I never heard her say one negative thing about the church, about family, about anyone. This is a passing generation. And Harry and Betsy were one of the first couples Judy and I met when we came to St. Paul 21 years ago. And I miss them. Loving others was an automatic thing for her, because Jesus has set the example of this is how you do it. And I'm sending the Comforter who will lead and guide you. My word is with you, and it will empower you. You see, it's not God's purpose to hurt or destroy or to condemn us. He wants to save us from the dangers and the evils of this time. Just as a mother hen gathers her chicks close to her, our Heavenly Father extends His invitation to come to Him through His Son, Christ Jesus. To come to know the Good Shepherd, who speaks these very words to us this day. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep, and my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Can't you just see Betsy here? I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. In the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus gives us this promise. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. She has crossed over from death to life. Betsy has crossed over. And just imagine what it was like for her to rush and to run into the loving arms of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. Amen. And God bless you today. I would invite you to pray with me. I'm gonna offer a prayer, and then we will pray together the Lord's Prayer. It's been good to be with you today, to worship with you, and to remember one of the saints of the church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful. We are thankful of your promises that you are faithful to carry out in your perfect timing. We thank you, Lord, for the life and for the impact that Betsy's life has had on so many people. So grateful are we to know that she is at home with you. The place that your son Jesus described to his disciples and to us, a place with many rooms, a place where that we can be with him, no longer broken, no longer tears streaming down our cheeks, but whole. We would pray for Steve and Nita. We would pray for Sue and Stan and all of their family, that you would continue to bring encouragement to their hearts and in your perfect timing to change their sorrow into joy. And we do so, we do pray this with confidence that you have given to us. Even now as we speak together the words your Son has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let us speak together the words of Simeon's song. They're on the back page. Together. Lord, now lettest thou thy servants depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father and the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And again, I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. My dear friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his faithful love, both now and forevermore. Amen.